Let's take this gargoyle who is admittedly cheesy but at least intimidating looking and give him lame ram horns, goofy eyes, and bottom tusks.
Talking about Igor?
I'm not talking about Igor.
Okay. Who the fuck is Igor?
It's pronounced Igor now.
I kind of wonder what made them bring Killer Instinct back and then drop it off as quick as they did. I mean, it lasted a few seasons or a few years, but it didn't.
It went from 2013 to 2018.
Did it really?
Yes.
Aren't they still putting out
content?
Oh, yeah,
because they put that big collection together in 2018, didn't they?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I think the last season was technically 2017, but there was something else for 2018.
2018 is whenever they put the three together.
Yeah,
the three seasons.
New characters. Yeah.
And then they put the two Killer Instinct arcade games in one big bundle.
The only thing that runs that well anyway is World of Warcraft. That runs forever. That's just never going to stop.
I don't even understand how.
That's so popular that they've reset the server to vanilla on some servers, I should say, not all.
That is cool.
And now they're going back through all the old expansions because, you know, why not?
Right. Well, the rumor mill is since they did the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, the rumor is they may reveal a Dead Space remaster at E3.
That'd be neat.
That'd be very cool. I would much prefer just news on a Mass Effect 4, but I'll take that.
Right. Well, I have no idea where that's going to go.
What I really want is a Metroid Prime 4, but I can settle. I don't know. I beat Dead Space for the first time about 2 years ago. Like, I played through about half of it 9 or 10 times over. I just got bored with it. I don't know.
You got to do like I do and revisit it every couple years. Don't play it. And then just every couple years, pick out that one save file that, because you've already played through a million times, so all your weapons are maxed out, all your rig is maxed out, you're damn near godlike. So at that point, just restart a new file and just play through, and you can just haul ass through it. Of course, especially if you have the foam gun. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, pew, 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 I think that's what it's called.
So
the primary is bang and the secondary is pew pew.
I'm looking through the E3 lineup and I'm not seeing Electronic Arts on it.
Maybe it'll be a good one this time then.
Which, well, I keep forgetting Sony and Electronic Arts, I think, pulled out.
Oh, there was a tweet from 2019 I saw and it was from EA and it just said games, comma. The first comment on it was like, how much do I have to pay to unlock the rest of this this tweet?
Yeah. So
that filled me with joy.
E3 schedule coming this Saturday, June 12th at 10 a.m. These are all Pacific time, is the pre-show. And on day one, on Saturday, Ubisoft's got their Ubisoft Forward event. Gearbox has got their E3 show and a Game Beat session, and I'm not sure what Games Beat will include. Ubisoft Forward's going to have that new Quarantine, but it's not called Quarantine anymore. It's the Rainbow Six. It was called Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Years ago?
Just up till here recently. They finally changed it due to the pandemic.
Oh, now
that's almost a coincidental.
Now
thing.
That it's almost over,
yeah.
They'll stop calling it Quarantine.
Right.
That's PC.
And then Sunday, they're going to have the Xbox and Bethesda game show. That's at 10 a.m. Pacific, of course. Just afternoon, Square Enix is going to do a showing. Warner Brothers is going to present Back for Blood. And they've got two other shows for PC gaming and a future game show. Back for Blood looks pretty cool. Have you seen trailers for that?
Yeah. That'd be the new Left 4 Dead. It channels Left 4 Dead like Nothing else.
Four player, first person shooter, horde mode on zombies and stuff like that. It's pretty neat looking, I think.
Okay.
I'm kind of excited about that, as you can tell by all the expression in my voice right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for this game coming out. It will blow your minds.
But the thing, why does Verizon have a panel at fucking E3? Like, they're fucking going to go on Monday morning. Monday was usually the prime day for all the big companies. Microsoft and Sony went on Monday. Microsoft went on Monday morning. Sony went on Monday night. And then they started doing this weekend before E3. And Microsoft started going on Sunday. And I don't know why they did that. But they have their own hall. Microsoft does. So they basically have their own event outside of E3. But now since it's all digital, it doesn't really matter anyway. But Verizon's got a show. Intellivision has a show. Which Intellivision has their own little new box that came out. Which I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. So Intellivision released a box. It's a couple $100. But the games are no more than a few dollars each. And I believe there was talk about a director's cut or a new version of Earthworm Jim that was going to end up on it.
I was going to say, it had all the good games like Pitfall and Pole Position. And
yeah. But Take-Two Interactive, Mythical Games, there's going to be an indie game showcase, Freedom Games, V-E-N-N, not familiar with, Capcom is showing at 2:30.
I've heard of them.
And Razer, R-A-Z-E-R, the game peripheral maker. Make headphones and whatnot. Mice. Got the three little snakes coming apart. They're going to have a showcase at 3 o'clock.
Are they sharp?
They could be. And then Tuesday, Nintendo's going to have their Treehouse and their Direct.
The fuck's Treehouse?
Nintendo does a Treehouse event every year.
Is it like Mickey Mouse's Playhouse?
His clubhouse? Kind of, I guess.
M-I-C. I rock the mic properly.
But everyone right now is speculating that Nintendo is getting ready to announce a new Switch. That is all the fervor right now. Everyone is looking at...
That's what I've heard.
They're putting out a new Switch.
I can't wait for my son to tell me that he needs it so it can sit in a case and never get used. Oh my God, I can't wait. It's going to be so amazing.
So if I took it, he wouldn't notice?
No. No.
Oh.
No.
Nope. Remember that.
No, we'd never know. Well, that's not how things work. He used to have this cat dump truck toy that sat in his toy box for 5 years. I finally decided to donate it. And like 2 days later, he's like, hey, where's my dump truck? I want to play with my dump truck. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. It's gone. I got rid of it. I did it secretly because if I confronted you about it.
Just like we did your mother.
Get away from me, freak.
And then Bandai Namco is also doing their event on Tuesday. So.
More Dark Souls.
More Dark Souls?
It's either Dark Souls, Tekken, or Elden Ring.
What is it, Praise the Sun?
I've been hearing some, the Ninja Gaiden collection that's coming out.
I'm pretty hyped. I know nothing about it other than it's the first three games.
I've been hearing that it's not the greatest of the three games, though. I've been hearing that they've lost a lot of source code on them.
Ooh.
And there's chances that maybe they're pulling on the Wii version of one of them.
Probably three.
Yep. And the That'll PSP version of another one.
That sucks. One of the, for Mass Effect Legendary Edition, there was a DLC called Pinnacle Station for the first Mass Effect. And it turns out that it was actually made by a separate company. So that's why it does not have the same feel as Mass Effect. It was just like, hey, we need content for this game because it sold really well and people want to keep playing it, so we need content. So they outsourced it. So when it come time to make Legendary Edition, they didn't have the source code. So
I was wondering where the hell that was supposed to be.
They had to go through... They went through all the people that used to work there and finally someone gave them some of the source code and it was corrupted. So they were like, We'll just do without it.
It's Pinnacle Station. It's not like it's going to...
Yeah,
it's not the crux of the
like,
game.
Like, okay, if it came without Citadel DLC, I wouldn't have bought it. I would not have bought Legendary Edition because I'd be like, that's That's what I wanted to play the most. That's why I started for the first game, because I wanted to go through and save everyone and then have an epic party before I die fighting the Reapers. But if they were like, oh, well, we don't have the Citadel DLC because the source code was corrupted, I'd be like, fuck your game, fuck you. I want nothing to do with you.
I can confirm, because I literally just played it for the first time this morning, that the Citadel DLC is the best part of Mass Effect 3.
It's amazing. Anyway.
They're saying that Monster Hunter and Resident Evil is probably going to be the headliner for Capcom's.
Sounds about right. I can see. I forget, because... Excuse me. Monster Hunter's not really in my wheelhouse, but...
Have you tried it?
Yeah. I couldn't stand it.
Really?
Well, you tried the online one.
No, right? I even played solo. I hated running around prepping, and I know a lot of people are into that, and I'm not shit-talking them. It's just, it's not my cup of tea.
That's very ironic, considering how much grinding you do on any other game you play.
I know, but I don't know, something about it was like, no.
I very much enjoyed Monster Hunter World. Well, not enough to beat it, but enough to play the hell out of it.
But Mark's right, I was going to play co-op with Nathan. Mm-hmm. But there was all kinds of stipulations, and you can't just invite your friend and go on a mission together. Nope. Number one.
You never played Dark Souls. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, number one, you both have to have already played that mission in order to play co-op. It was just,
there's a bunch of heavy handshaking.
Yeah. It's bullshit is what it's called, Mark. Bullshit. Get political with me and the heavy handshaking. There's lots of permissions I have to go through and licensing and stuff. It's called bullshit.
Correct.
I know he didn't say all those things, but...
He was being polite.
You guys don't know him off the mic, okay?
So...
I've never met him outside of this podcast.
Series X and Series S and PS5, people are still fucking having problems getting them. They're even saying, Sony's already made the comment that there will be a PS5 shortage come Christmas this year. It's still a shortage 6 months in. Video cards, forget it. I've heard people that they've got bots scripted to check for new video card inventory in retailers every 15 seconds. They check Newegg, they check Amazon, they check all the major retailers, Best Buy, and they have scripts wrote that check for those inventories every 15 seconds, and when it does it, they add it to cart and check out immediately.
NVIDIA started making one of their older models just so they could have something to sell because they're selling. They can't get the newest, so they'll take the next to newest.
So here's the funny part. Those are sold out, too.
Yep.
The only way for you to get a new video card right now, theoretically, is for you to go out and buy a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only way to get a decent video card right now is to go scalp one out of a computer.
So maybe this is a bit of a stretch, but they're releasing a new Oculus pretty soon, aren't they?
They don't have a release date, as far as I know.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was announced. They're like, the Oculus 3 will be coming out, but they didn't say when.
You're talking about the Quest?
Yeah.
Yeah, Quest 3, not Oculus.
They just put high frame rate mode on the Oculus Quest 2.
I think it is Oculus. Whichever one's playing Resident Evil 4.
Oculus Quest.
It is, okay.
The 2, yeah.
Because people keep bitching about that console, but if nothing else is coming out, it's kind of the best time to sell a bullshit console.
What are they bitching about?
I guess you have to have a Facebook account to even play the damn thing.
Yes,
and
you do.
Yes.
A bunch of bullshit, as you called it.
Because Facebook bought it. No, I agree. That's bullshit. I can't just play a game and download it.
You know what else is bullshit? The fact that you have to have a Google account to fucking play or to sign into YouTube.
You don't. Oh, yeah, you do.
I don't know. I've had a Google account for so damn long, I don't remember.
Right, right.
It just says, do you have a Google account? And I go, yep. And it goes, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I use my Google email in order to, on my phone. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, Android. But, so I'll use it to watch YouTube. But if you want to comment on YouTube, it says you have to have a channel. So you have to make a fucking channel. Just so I can say, nice vid, bro. Mm-hmm. I have to go through the fucking rigmarole to make a fucking channel that I'm not going to post anything to. Welcome to the Josh Lewis channel. Here's some ants in a soda can.
I like eggs. Ham is delicious.
What the fuck am I going to put on there?
Exactly. I had to abandon my old YouTube channel just because it had fucking Yahoo email attached to it.
Really?
I mean, it still exists. Not that I know the password for it.
Well, I mean, the fact that your channel was called Big Booty Shake and P- Pussy Eater.
No. It was actually your
7769.
Favorite.
7769.
Right.
It was your favorite gamer tag I ever had. Asylum Sith, as you called it.
Oh.
Asylum Sith.
So, I still want to know what the hell Microsoft is going to fill their event with. I mean...
Hey, everybody, we have a new console that no one can purchase because they either have it or the scalpers keep buying it. But, hey, you know, next-gen stuff's coming out soon.
Who was it, Sega, that was coming out with a fucking shitty console that they kept hyping up and never released anything for?
That was the Dreamcast.
That was flawless execution. No, who the fuck? Atari.
Atari, yeah.
Atari. The Atari VCS. It came out, or it's coming out in a week. The 15th, I think, is when it comes out of this month.
What a coinky dink.
Well, we all know that that's going to reunite the planets and the countries together.
If it doesn't have Pitfall and Pole Position and...
How's about anything worth fucking playing?
Those would be the only Atari games I ever mention. I'll never speak of anything else.
Pole Position's crap.
Race car. I remember I had no interest in the original Xbox until I played Halo. And then I had no interest in Gotham City Racing until I played the first one. I was like, all right, this isn't half bad.
I thought you were going to say until you played Halo.
See, what got me into Gotham City Racing was I had played Metropolis Street Racer on Dreamcast. And it was made by Bizarre Creations. Metropolis Street Racer, Gotham City Racing.
What got me into Gotham Street Think Racing about that. Is Geometry Wars.
Yeah, that's where it was hidden. In the second or third one, I don't remember which one.
One was Superman and the other was Batman.
Yeah, isn't that silly? Metropolis Street Racer? But yeah, they're both made by Bizarre Creations.
Well, in that one, you just drive your car through a bunch of rings.
Yeah.
That was fucking perfect.
Thank you.
But the gameplay was identical in both games. I mean, you went around the corner, you got kudos and points for your
the
style.
Kudos, that's what it was.
Yeah, you'd kudos.
Like, do some drifting and get, oh, kudos!
But yeah. The difference is that your parents are dead in the Gotham one.
You still drive through a bunch of rings, but you're in black and you're dark and brooding when you do it.
Oh, damn, I guess Superman's parents are technically dead, too. Whatever, he doesn't whine and bitch about it.
That's true.
That's... The weird thing is like, there's so much, like, between the Dreamcast and the original Xbox that transported over.
The bizarre thing, you may say?
Yeah, Bizarre Creations. But,
I'm noticing a trend here.
Bizarro.
But Xbox...
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Xbox and the Dreamcast, of course, they both have their same controller layout. And they both also had, you know, the memory card slots the same. The damn controller was robbed straight from the Dreamcast. They added a joystick to it and two little white and black buttons. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was a Dreamcast controller.
Okay, that's one thing that always perplexed me about the original Xbox. What the fuck was the deal with the white and black buttons? Like, they were used in every game, but I don't know. They just seemed just as weird as, like, the C controller on the 64.
I think, and this is just me speculating, I think that they laid it out so you would have a six-button layout. So you had the full six-button layout right there for, like, fighting games. But nobody really, like, you weren't buying the Xbox for fighting games.
And nobody ever used them in fighting games. At least none of the Mortal Kombat games used them.
Well, and not Dead or Alive. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it was Dead or Alive. Dead or Alive came to the Xbox.
Yes.
And was kind of big on it for a little bit.
Especially in Japan.
And I kind of thought that maybe that's what they were trying to do, make it like a... You know, this is the best console to play fighting games and racing games with the triggers and stuff like that. That's why I loved racing games on the Dreamcast was just the fact that you had triggers instead of just the buttons to push. Like, you know, PlayStation racing games didn't feel quite as natural playing it on like if I had a chance to play like an arcade racer versus Gran Turismo, I'd play the arcade racer just because of the controls. I don't know what it was about PlayStation's controller, but as far as like feeling like you were in the middle of the race, it did not give you that immersion the same way a Dreamcast or an Xbox controller does.
Part of that is because the original PlayStation controller didn't have joysticks. That was before DualShock.
Well, but the PS2 controller did, though.
Oh, you're talking PS2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the layout of the PS2 controller, but I can definitely see where it's not made for as precise of movement as maybe Xbox was. But on the same shtick of that, Xbox controllers have always had garbage D-pads. I have never liked the D-pad of that. It's mine. I have never liked the D-pad of that anywhere near as well as any of the PlayStations, or even some Nintendos for that
matter. Man, PS2 was back in the heyday of Mad Catz controllers. I actually saw a PS2 controller where the handle grips were fucking pistol grips, like for a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the trigger, your back buttons were, it was actually a fucking trigger like a gun. It was for shooting games, I guess. But it was just, I get the idea. It was cool that you were reaching out or branching out or taking crazy idea, but the layout was just so foreign. There was no way you could play a game with that fucking controller unless you only used a few select buttons.
Or unless you played a Nintendo 64 first.
Well, honestly, like, the Xbox controller, well, technically the Dreamcast controller, started the triggers. Like, without the Dreamcast controller, I don't think we would have the triggers that we have nowadays. Xbox perfected it. By the time that they got around to doing the 360 controller, the trigger on the 360 controller is pretty damn spot on.
I agree. But wait, you're telling me the GameCube didn't have perfect fucking triggers? Come on now.
The triggers on that is not even triggers. They're slide. They slide back and forth. Right. It's not even like a real trigger.
Yeah, it's a button with extra steps.
Yeah.
That's what
and
it is.
It's an analog button. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If they would have made it more fluid, made it to where it actually, I don't know, didn't just slide back and forth in the...
Uh-huh, and you didn't have to click it every time you wanted to push down on it heavy.
Yeah.
It just felt uncomfortable and unwieldy.
The only game that worked properly in was Super Mario Sunshine. There was a couple other games. I think Luigi's Mansion was another one that did it well, too. But then again, first-party Nintendo games, they ought to be able to utilize their technology properly.
Yeah. I just know that it did not work very well in Resident Evil 4, and it did not work very well in Metroid Prime.
But, I mean, looking ahead at E3, this is one of the first E3s. Last year was kind of wonky, but, like, I don't know really what to expect out of this E3 at all. Like,
disappointment?
To an extent, a little bit. I mean, we're year one in new consoles. Mm-hmm. And
there's almost nothing for it. Nothing really worth your time and money to get excited about.
Ratchet and Clank comes out, I believe, this week. I think it came out today.
Okay.
Rift Apart. And they say it's pretty decent. I've been watching reviews of it and listening to them talk about it. And it also makes me think, like, when are we going to get to the point where there's a selection of games to look forward to? We don't even have that yet. Like, Xbox has not really showed us anything exclusively to the Series S/X yet. And all the games that do come, Starfield and Halo, like, we know they're coming, but when?
It's like the dragons in Game of Thrones.
I've heard that they may at least tease Starfield, but I don't expect Starfield till minimum 2022.
The reason I'm starting to speculate we may see something out of it is because they don't just call it the Xbox Game Showcase now. It's the Xbox and Bethesda Game Showcase.
I get that, but
that bothers me.
how many years has Bethesda just come out for E3 and just release a teaser and that's it? They're like, they show this epic video of the game and you're like, oh my God, that's great. And then when you get the game, it's the Walmart bottom of the bin. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
With the exception of Doom Eternal, I agree with you.
It's ever since Anthem opened my eyes to the fucking hype train. You know, because even...
I have a meme to show you guys. I forgot to put it in the group chat.
Because they... Do you remember the Anthem trailer? There was lightning and there was a storm and everything looked so fucking great. And then you got the game and it was 50% of what they showed.
Yeah, it didn't feel as grand or epic, The battles didn't feel like you were trying to work. It was just like, okay.
I'm sorry, but it's fucking... Everyone is losing their fucking minds, and they want to release games before the end of their fiscal years. They don't care if it's done. They just want to get that money. And we, the people, keep buying their shit.
Okay, sorry, real quick, not to interject. So it's two things here. One is a toilet paper, and on every sleeve of it, it says Dead Games, and it has the symbol for Anthem. So there's that.
Awesome.
The other one, it's enjoy this shitty game. It's Anthem. You open it up and it says play Titanfall 2 instead.
Well, I mean, look at Titanfall 2 was released at poor timing. There were two other games that came out
from the same company.
From the same company. Who the fuck managed? I am sorry, but in a business like mine, if I was to fuck something up like that, mm-hmm. I would be on the street. They'd be like, "Wow, you're a fucking dumbass. You're fired."
Whatever, you've done that, and they still haven't.
Yeah, I know you're right, but I mean, how can I word this?
Titanfall 2 is one of the few games. And I know we're singing the same song and dance we always do, but Titanfall 2 is one of the few games that is completely underrated, and I really wish they would put some development, or how should I put it, make new content for it.
But, I mean, that's what I was going to get at. Look at Apex. It's the same fucking game, minus Titans.
Right.
There's a few tweaks and things made to it, but it's even in the same universe. There's some of the same guns. There's just no Titans because they're, you know, they wanted to jump on to the Battle Royale because they were already at the tail end.
Yep.
You know, I mean, PUBG and Fortnite were already out years before this game came out, and they released it out of nowhere. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we have a Battle Royale game. It's called Apex Legends. It's pretty cool. You should play it.
I have some fireworks.
And people have been playing it, and they fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
So... of course, they released it for free because they knew. I mean, that's the game model now. Release an online game that you can constantly update, and you can charge for season passes, which, I mean, Destiny's been doing it nonstop, and I still fall victim to fucking Destiny. I don't even play it anymore, but every once in a while I boot it up, and I'm like, oh, shit, a season pass gives you a gun? Okay. You know, 100 silver. What is that, 10 bucks? All right, cool. And then I don't play it, and the season's over, and I've ranked up nothing. So I got none of the fucking rewards. Yep. It's just because the thing they have, it's that carrot in front of you, and you're like, oh, man.
That is the worst thing about Destiny. The motherfucking game mechanics on that game is solid. Like, the overall fundamental game factor is probably one of the best shooter mechanics that you can have next to Titanfall's. And I cannot think of a better multiplayer shooter that you and your friends can sit down and play than Destiny 2. But I can also say I can never think of a worse shooter for you and your friends to sit down and play than Destiny 2, because
I'd say Grand Theft Auto 5 is on par.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about a pure first-person shooter.
Oh, I gotcha. You're not just talking multiplayer experience.
Right.
Okay.
Because Destiny 2 sucks you in, and it's kind of like getting on a merry-go-round that just never stops. You're just kind of like, all right, I guess I'll just keep riding this thing, and it's starting to slow down a little bit. I think I'm probably going to get off and like, oh, well, I guess I'll keep playing. Something new's getting ready to come back. Oh, hey, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. Uh-huh. And that's what happens. Like, you get sucked into this merry-go-round that never stops, and every once in a while they put someone new on there for you to see, and you're like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Well,
like, let's talk. I've been caught up forever.
Then you have the problem with the seasons is now you have to start making more content. It's not like a game where you can, you know, like Mass Effect or Dead Space or any other major AAA title where you sit there and you come up with a storyline and you write the story and then you have storyboards and then you do concept designs and then you have to build everything up from the ground up and you make this epic, amazing fucking story and you tell the game and then it's done. And now what they have to do is a season isn't even a year or 6 months. A season is like
9 weeks or...
Right, right. So they have to constantly create content nonstop. So that tells me that when you're under the gun to do that, some of the shit you release is going to be garbage.
Yeah.
Rainbow Six, the last two seasons they've had, I kind of liked it, but every season they have a new gun skin that's universal that fits every gun, and they have a new skin for your characters. It'll be their default uniform, mm-hmm. but whatever color scheme they come up with, right? The one before the last one was black and like safety yellow, but it was camo, and then the one after that was
pink.
And camo. Huh. That's it. It was the same fucking patterns, the same designs, but instead of the safety yellow and gray or black, they went with the pink and black and a little bit of, you know what I mean, just camos.
That's
what I'm saying. It's fucking lazy. Exactly, because they have to keep making content. They got to keep pumping it out. So of course they're gonna miss the mark. They're not gonna have epic shit.
That's why I appreciate what fighting games, especially Mortal Kombat, have been doing, which is, you know, planning these things a year in advance. That's what they did. Is they for at least season one, they planned that out a year in advance. They're like, hey, you're gonna get Spawn, Joker, all these fucking people, Terminator, and they released them over time while they'd already been working on them, and that gave them time to make new content for the next season. So there was a little bit of crunch involved, I'm sure, but nothing lazy about it.
Can you think about all the games that we've played, even just the ones that we've touched, that has content that after a while goes away? Even the Rainbow Six, like the Invitational, when we play it, they make the arena, usually out of other stuff that we've already seen, mm-hmm. or they cobble together something. And then after you play your couple weeks on it, it's gone. And there's levels like that, too, in games like Destiny and... you know, there's a timed exclusive stuff that, like, you can only play this for this certain amount of time. Then after that, it's gone.
Like Golden Gun.
Like Golden Gun. But, you know, how much content is created and destroyed in the namesake of trying to get you to play that exact weekend or that exact time to try to get numbers up and stuff like that? Like, it almost feels like they're wasting that talent. You are wasting away what you could be developing for the overall community instead of, like, to lure in people to get this timed exclusive.
Well, okay, there was a 3-person co-op that came out shortly. It was either during or after Finca and Lion came out. And it was a zombie mode. There was these characters that were infected, and they were like monsters, and they had spikes out of their backs. Hmm. Right? I'll never get to play that, because that came out before I got into Siege. They may release that in the future for a limited time, one weekend thing to get me to play. But, like, I want that mode. Why can't I have all the game modes? Why do they have to go away?
That's just mistreating your fans.
Well, and, you know, Rainbow Six isn't the only company. I mean, every online concurrent form does something like that.
Dead by Daylight, as far as I can tell.
Dead by Daylight has their events that you will miss out on. Like, this is the season, so yada yada. And it's the only way you can get this wacky hat, you know.
Right, but they don't take away maps.
Right.
Like, when you buy the character and you buy the character pack, you get a killer and you get one or two survivors and you get a map and some cosmetics. And it's there forever, whether you purchase it in-game or not.
Yeah, it's like... They just released Nemesis, Jill, and Leon. It's like, hey, here's Nemesis and Jill, and you get Leon for a limited time. They don't do that.
No, you bought the pack, you bought the expansion, and it's now yours forever. Mm-hmm. And when you jump online and play randomly, because I believe the killer hosts for Dead by Daylight, so your game console becomes the server that they play on. That's cool. Why when you jump online and you go to play with a killer who has shitty internet connection, you just leave. You're like, I'm not going to do this because, for all you know, his game is gonna have priority, his console. So he may have knocked you down, picked you up, and hooked you while you're still running in, you know, stationary because your game's lagged because he's playing off his fucking hotspot on his phone because he lives out in the country and has no fucking, you know, internet.
Right. Don't talk about me like that.
See, so, that's... Yeah. Even Dead by Daylight, like... There are parts of that game that, you know, I feel like they could enhance themselves on. They could change up some of the gameplay, but it's just like Rainbow Six. It's just like the playstyle that we get, after a while, it gets monotonous. Like, you can mm-hmm. keep playing the same scenario over and over again, but in Rainbow Six, it's always get in there, set your detonator, defend. Or, you know, get in there, get the guy out, defend your way out. Like, there's always that same element, and the same with Dead by Daylight.
That's kind of why I haven't gotten into Siege or haven't really pushed to get into it, because no matter what you do, it's going to be the same thing. It's not like Halo where there's 500 different fucking game types.
I will say, though, with Rainbow Six, though, Rainbow Six, you can handle the scenario differently. You can go in and kill everybody and not worry about planting the diffuser. Mm-hmm. You can run into the building and, you know, just have an all-out slaughter, you can't outthink your opponent. There are times, like, my favorite thing in the world is now I play as Flores, and he's the guy that has the mines.
Remote control bomb, basically.
Yeah. And you can roll him in there. Well, people like to try to figure out where Flores is hiding and try to sneak out and kill him. I put a claymore out the window. So as soon as they step foot out that window to try to kill me, boom, they're dead. They don't get near me. That's my favorite thing. I will try to lure guys out. I will make sure that they know where my drone is coming from just so I can get that attempt to try to kill them with that. And then somebody else he's like, oh, there's Flores out there. He had a claymore on me. And I know that they're coming for me then. And that's how I set my kills up sometimes is I do it. I keep throwing the bomb in there saying, like, hey, look where I'm at, because I'm trying to lure the opponent out to me.
But, I mean, that's the reason there are so many characters in that game, to add flavor to the same scenario over
exactly.
And over. And I'm not saying there aren't a lot of flavors, because there sure as hell are. I just looked through them the other day, seeing who I'd be interested in. I ended up wanting the snipers and Nox.
And you also like Diana, because she has the drone. She makes a hologram of herself.
Yeah.
And she can recon.
Yeah, I like being a tricky bastard.
Well, and like you, because we talked about this on a previous episode, with her, what would be smart is go in there like you're her. Try to peek around corners. Because a lot of people, they come running in just full bore. And it's pretty obvious that they're a drone. I got a couple clips, and I'm going to look for them now because we're talking about it. But there's a couple times where I know they're right outside the door because I can hear her throw the drones.
You can hear the zzzz.
So what I do is I just run right through the drone and go right for the person. There's a lag between switching between the drone and then them coming back to consciousness, basically, to defend themselves. 9 times out of 10, they're in transition and I've killed them. But that's because they're doing the drone right there outside the door. What do you think I was going to do? Hide behind the box forever?
Yeah.
You know, I hear her deploy the drone. So I'm not going to shoot the drone because when you shoot the drone, it automatically takes her out of drone mode. So just run through the drone because they have to switch out of it. And by the time they do, I've already killed them.
That, I probably wouldn't use her then because that's what made it so good in Halo Reach to do that, because it was instantaneous. And in the middle of a firefight, all you needed was a split second of them aiming at the wrong one to beat them.
Right. And in this one, there's a load up time.
Yeah, no. So I'd probably use Nox.
It's only a couple seconds. But that's how they balance the characters. All the characters, when you switch between weapons, when you switch between cameras, there's a slight lag that kind of mirrors reality, but it's also not because it's a game, and everyone knows you don't want to, you know, have to type in your password on your phone every time go into a camera.
That's just like with Flores. If I'm using my remote bombs, like if somebody comes out the window and I don't have another claymore out there, like I have to switch off of it, and it's going to take me a couple seconds because he's standing there with the phone. Instead of just throwing down the phone and, you know, there's lots of ways they could get around that, but they don't because they want you to not be able to just pop, pop, pop and go back to doing what you were doing.
The major issue is when we get online and we come across people who just live and breathe the game. It loses some fun because you don't get any kills. You just get slaughtered. And what we normally do in a situation like that, we're not quitters. We're not going to quit. And we're going to do our damnedest. We're going to try, and we always do.
Even if we're 0-3.
Yeah. Even if we know we're going to lose, we don't care, because that's how you get better. You have to fucking go for it. But at the same time, it's also
discouraging.
Discouraging, because you're like, fuck. I don't know how many times I've seen the number one player on the team before he's seen me. But because I suck at aiming, I'm dead and he's okay. You know, but I think that
scenario comes down to skill.
Is that why the kill cam is there? So you can see what happened?
Yeah.
Is that
so you have validation on knowing, like, you were dead. You weren't. It's not just the game glitching or you.
Right.
It's to let you know, like, this is what it looked like for you to die.
Right. Well, and then there's also, I don't know how to put it, but there's cheaters. It's real for us. On the receiving end of getting fucked by cheating, sometimes it's hard to tell if they're cheating. But that's why they added match codes. There's a code at the bottom, because basically the match is recorded and saved under that file name. So you can turn in that file name and say, hey, I think I caught this guy cheating because this and this and this. And they have their own ways of, long story short, the guy can view it to see for cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And he can go and he can zoom around the map and he can see all the enemies through walls.
It's like he's got a 3D diorama of
right,
the whole
right. He's like match. In God mode and he can see what happens. And there'll be times where they'll watch a person and they'll watch the barrel of the gun follow you from walls because they've hacked the, you know, they're using whatever software to cheat.
Aimbots or whatever.
Right.
And that stuff. Too. Yeah.
And there's also just health cheats where, you know what I mean? Like uh-huh. a lot of the cheaters are slick about it. They even lose matches on purpose so that you're like, oh, they're just better than me or he just had a shitty run. That way they don't get busted for cheating. It's...
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't understand what people get out of cheating in games.
Just feel better about themselves. I won. I beat you, even though
that's
a computer. I know, even though a computer did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at Warzone. They did when they permaban on those games. Now they don't block your like gamer tag. They block your IP address.
Nice.
They block your hardware.
What's funny is just watching them like, oh, we had a 60,000 ban event today. It's like 60,000 people have been banned from that game. And chances are there are some that are not real people or they're spam or, what, or you know, bots or whatever that they've blocked. But it's still insane that they would have that many blocks
yep.
just at one time.
Well, and when it first started doing that, what they did is they took suspected cheaters and they routed their IPs where they could only go to cheaters-only servers.
Should have done that for fucking GTA when it came
so,
out.
So everyone on the server was a fucking cheater.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look on YouTube, you can see where cheaters getting mad at cheaters because they're cheating and they got cheated worse. So now they're all pissed. It's just...
That's the kind of game I want to play.
it's a childish mentality. You know, people live longer, so we don't have to mature as fast. That's why you have 25... and 30-year-old people playing online and being babies about it and not like, oh, man, that guy's really good. Maybe I should improve myself. Maybe I should take an extra 20 minutes a day and practice my aiming. Maybe I should dial in my controls on my controller to give myself an advantage. I mean, nobody thinks that way. It's just
don't act like you do that.
I used to.
I think you...
Now I don't play at all. That's the problem. My yeah. internet's been fucked up. I haven't played Rainbow Six with the guys in a month because I've been going around with my internet provider.
I noticed. Yeah, last couple times I've been here, it's been absolute trash.
It's bullshit. But where I'm at, let's see. So I can stick with my shitty internet, or I can get the other shitty internet.
Yeah.
I mean, what do I do?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. You're stuck between a rock and, well, another rock. Not even a hard place.
Call Wabash, ask him when they're coming. That's what yeah. you do. Mm-hmm. And say, fuck this. I'm going to go with mm-hmm. a 1 gig line for $70 a month, because that's what they're offering soon.
I'll be on that, because...
Yeah. A gig for 70 a month. Because
I don't pay near that. Or I don't get near that for what I pay.
No. You get a little under a third of that.
I'll be leaving. If that's coming to town, I'll fucking do it.
We printed the flyers for it. It's heading this way. They're on Rosewood Lane right now, landline.
I recall hearing that.
Yep.
That's, for me, that's only a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that, yep. Is that why that bridge is out or the road's closed?
I think that's why it was closed, yeah.
Probably. But yeah, I know that they were laying line down through there. I took a drive through Damn. There just to...
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
I
and
will.
It's for life, too.
So what's I'll the downside? Get,
huh?
What's the downside?
No downside. It's fiber optic. It's...
Hmm.
There is no end to this bullshit.
I had Wabash 13 years ago. And, I mean, but that was 13 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
When the internet wasn't like it is today.
But the thing is, too, is not on old copper line like the coax that we've got running around through here. The coax line should have been updated probably 10 years ago, but it still hasn't been. 15 years ago, probably.
Right. I mean, you have to consider that stuff takes money. It's a cost. That's an overhead. You know, that's not... It's just... And that shit takes time. That's
yeah,
an infrastructure.
That's the way I look at it, though. They're gracious enough to take my money every month.
Well,
there's never ever been a time in my life that they've said, oh, no, 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 we've got this one.
Well, how many people do we know, not only do they have internet, but they've got home phone, you know, they got landline or whatever through the company, and they've got TV.
They've got, like, cable and stuff. How many people do we know like
so
that?
So they're paying $200 to $400 for TV packages for internet, phone, and I'm like, no, there's no way. Mm-hmm. There is no way I could afford that.
Hell no.
You know, that's insane. To me, that's absolutely insane. So, I mean, because I get everything I need off the internet. Just give me internet. I mean, I have to pay for Xbox Gold subscription if I want to play online, but I pay for Ultimate, and I got the deal for $1, so I pay almost nothing for Ultimate, and then, you know, my internet is less than $100. And here's my thinking. I've gone most of the month with no internet or spotty internet. My thinking is I don't mind still paying the bill if they fix it, because the money I pay helps cover the labor to pay those guys to fix it.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a symbiotic thing. I don't mind paying the bill. I could and I probably will complain and be like, I don't want to pay this bill because I've not had internet. So I don't feel I should have to pay this bill.
I think that you should complain.
Right. Well, I have been. But the issue is manpower. That's what they're telling me. That could be true. That could be...
I mean, whether it is or not, you should get something to make up for their mistake.
Well, and then here's the thing, too. I mean, you know how businesses are. They play stupid.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I've been having packet loss.
Uh-huh.
And it's not on my end. It's from the pole back. It's from the pole to them, not the pole to me.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with my hardware, with the line coming from them. It has nothing to do with any of that because they've tested it all. And the last technician was here. But point is, they can tell me exactly how long my internet's been online, how long it's been offline. They can tell me how many packets I've lost. They have all that information. They're not gonna volunteer that because that would be giving away information that they can hold against me. But if I get on the phone, I'm like, look, I know you have all this information. I want this last month gratis. I want it free. Because I've not been using your fucking internet. I'm not going to pay for a service I haven't had because you haven't had time to fix it or have the manpower to fix it.
And you're in the right there.
Exactly.
Even by law, you're in the right there.
But, I mean, at the same time, I don't mind paying because I'm helping to continue the system, continue the cycle. You see what I'm saying? I know a lot of people won't agree with me.
Well, the only reason I wouldn't agree with you is because their cycle is clearly broken. Like it's
right,
a bad cycle.
But that takes me back to kind of like what Mark was saying. When's the last? I mean, if you know everything needs replaced, why aren't you replacing it? Mm-hmm. Because it's cost. You know why the rich stay rich? Because they don't spend any fucking money. Yeah. You know, when you and I go to, let's say we go to Olive Garden, you know, and we get a decent, you know, like $25 meal apiece, and then we get some liquor, like a daiquiri or some beer or something, and then some desserts, you know, and the bill's like $120.
Yeah, I know, it already hurts my pocket just feeling
right,
about
right.
It.
You know, so let's say we drop $100 at Olive Garden, we just went to hang out, and I'll leave a $20 tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm like, she brought me all this food, he or she took care of me, you know, they were always checking in on me, blah, 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 here's $20. But our mom was a waitress at Olive Garden for fucking 12 years. She told me a story where this table come in of like 12 people, and they were in her section. So she had to take care of all these people plus everyone around them, and their bill was like $300. This was in fucking the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm. In Florida.
And they left a handful of fucking change as a tip. And she took that handful of change, and she followed them out to the parking lot, and she fucking threw it at them. She got fired, but she was like, it was worth it. Fuck this place. You know? So.
I wish I could have done that.
I'm just saying, that's why the lady with a lot of money goes, gets coffee, and she just gets coffee, and she doesn't leave any tip or anything like that. I mean,
I always tip $10 no matter where I go, if the service is good enough.
I get it. I don't know. A lot of people would say I'm too generous or whatever. It's just, we grew up with a mother who.
Yeah, for us, it's just politeness.
Even mom, I've taken her to like to dinners like for her birthday or whatever, or Valentine's Day.
I hate you. No wonder you're the favorite son, you kiss ass.
Whatever. And I'll leave a tip. She's like, that's too much. I'm like, Mom, you were a waitress. You know exactly what it's like to get absolutely shorted on your fucking tips. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, but it should only be 5% or 15%. She's like, that's too much.
But that's the thing. The waitress isn't going to think it's too much.
Right.
And we're doing it for the waitress. We're not doing it for us.
Well, and here's my thought process. I go in there, and I tip fairly large for what mm-hmm. little service I needed or received. Hopefully, I'll be remembered. Oh, fuck, that's the guy that tipped me $20. All he got was, like, a sandwich and a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. Come over here. Sit down here. You know what I mean? It's kind of selfish, but I'm going to get pampered now. How are you? Everything all right?
How often does that work for you? Because I never get pampered anywhere I go, and I leave a $10 tip everywhere.
It's the places that I regular.
It's Five Brothers. That's probably one.
My stylist, I don't dare call her a barber. I made that mistake years ago. My ears are still on fire from that one because she laid into me. But I always give a $5 tip per haircut. So I'll take Trayton in there with me. So, and around here, guys' haircuts only $10. So yep. We'll go in there and we'll get the two haircuts, and then I'll give her $30 and I'll say, keep the change.
Mm-hmm.
So she basically gets a $10 tip for cutting two guys' hair who are like, whatever, just cut it. You know what I mean? Much, I'm not in there and I'm like, well, I need this half to be 3/4 inch long and it needs to be a mid to long. You know, I'm not in there picky. I'm like, just cut it to where it looks kind of like this, and I really don't give a shit because it's mm-hmm. going to have grease in it tomorrow anyway. I don't care. So, like, this Saturday, she was absolutely booked, and she's the only one in there. But she squeezed me in. She made sure I got in there. And, yeah, that come out wrong. You see my point, though? She took care of me. She got me in. She got both our haircuts. She did an okay job.
Well, if she didn't listen.
Well, I cut my own hair, and as you can see, I'm a brilliant self-cutter.
In certain restaurants, they remember me.
I just don't frequent big restaurants enough. Like, we went to Longhorn, and the service was absolutely amazing there. I left $20. Yeah, it was still a $90 bill, but fuck it. They did great. They did everything they were supposed to and more.
What you can also do, especially if you're kind of short on cash and you don't want to leave a big tip.
So what you're saying is what you ought to be doing.
What you ought to be doing. You can get the manager. You can, like, make it look like I love doing that. Like,
make it look like I'm a big deal.
Like I'm real fucking upset. You know, like, hey, here's your bill, whatever. Like, yeah, that's great. Can I have your manager? And they're like, oh, yeah. And they bring your manager over. Like, I just want to tell you right now that the service I received at this place, and just look all pissed and be like, is the best I've ever had. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys are amazing. Keep it up.
I would never do that.
I love doing that. I love can't embarrass people.
There was one time we were down in Carbondale, and they put the gratuity right on the check at TGI Fridays. I say that like no one's ever fucking heard of Fridays.
Yeah.
But anyway, they used to put the gratuity on there, and I got mad because I found out that their gratuity was split between all the employees. So I had the waitress take it off, and there was like six of us in there. And I told her, because I was paying for it, and I said, take it off of there. And I could tell she was upset. She was crying. And I said, which car is yours out in the parking lot? And she's like, what? And I said, I'll leave your tip in your car. I'm not giving you a tip because you worked your ass off over six, you know, early 20s dudes being early 20s dudes being jerks. I'm not going to let you split a tip that you worked your rear end off between a bunch of them.
Yep.
And it was at the time, you know, I mean, cell phones weren't, I mean, you had the old Nokia brick phone is what you had.
The Invincible machine.
Yeah. That was everyone's phone back then, and it was kind of like one of those. It wasn't like people were sitting around like playing on those all the time, but you know, I seen one girl like sitting there texting out stuff while, you know, this one girl was slaving away on the six, you know, the six top that we were, and it was just like
that was back when you paid for text messages.
Yeah.
Well, she needs those tips. That's 35 cents a piece.
But I wasn't going to share. Let that girl share.
Right.
That was the reason why I said, I'm not going to let you share a tip with that girl. And, you know, she cried. Like, she cried when I left. And it was just because, like, at the first, I think she started crying because she's just like, that's great. I worked this hard tonight, and I'm not even going to see any.
Right. I'm not going to get a tip at all.
And, you know, at the time, you know, thinking about it, and I just told her, I'm like, no, I'll leave your tip in your car. I'll leave your tip on your car if you want to just, like, tell me which one's yours and I'll hide it on your car. And I did. I put it down like underneath where the hood. I stuck it down there right where the hood is. And
in places like that, when I found, I didn't even know that was a practice that was done until a couple of years ago. And when I found out about that, those places that I do go to that do that, I'll just give the person the tip right there.
Yeah.
I'll just give it here. Here's a five. Here's
if,
a 10.
If another worker sees him you doing that, they'll sometimes rat him out.
Rat him out. I'm the customer. I'm right.
Yeah.
There's nothing the manager can say to me that will make him look better.
Because that's whatever I – that was back, you know, before I carried a credit card or debit card or anything. Mm-hmm. Everything was cash back then. And that's why I looked at that and I said gratuity. And she said, you know, yeah, we have to share our tips. And, you know, gratuity's on the bill. Mm-hmm. And I said, take it off the bill.
Well, I went to a Subway for lunch the other day and just making conversation. The guy behind the guy ringing me up, because now they have a tip added to the card machine and you can hit 50%, 20, 25, or custom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Depending on how well they did, sometimes I just hit the 15%. You don't have to tip. It's Subway, right? But I just happen to ask.
It's for a duck.
There are 10 ducks outside and they all want sun chips. And I asked, so now that they added the tips to this thing, do you get more tips? And he was kind of in the middle of making another sandwich too, but what he said kind of disturbed me. And he said, well, yeah, I mean, the store gets it. And I just want to be like, so are you getting the tips? Because I'm not tipping fucking Subway.
Exactly. I'm not showing my gratuity to Subway. I'm showing it to the people who made
well,
my
fucking
sandwich.
Well, thank you for letting me buy a sandwich off of you. Why don't I give you more
here's
money?
Here's a tip. Here's more. Well, there was a Kitchen Nightmares and Ramsey. It was the bakery shop in Nevada or somewhere. And he found out while working there that they don't give the tips to the waiters.
Mm-hmm. That's a big no-no.
And when he called him out on it, the manager got fucking pissed. He was like Italian or something.
And you know he had some fucking excuse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And then Ramsey, right in front of him, was like, oh, well, let's see what your customers think. Hey, do you know this guy doesn't? And that's when the guy got pissed. He got fucking infuriated. He's like, so you don't even tip your waiters. Most of them only get paid fucking $4 something an hour anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the compensation difference, is because I work for you. You pay me below minimum, so I have a chance to make more money while I sling your wares.
Right, and I get a tip.
Mm-hmm.
And Khajiit has wares.
Yep. That, I mean, and once again, that's, as far as I can tell, that's almost a singularly American custom. Hardly anywhere else do you tip.
Mm-hmm. I've got the perfect tip.
I know.
Why don't we end this podcast?
I'm just saying, I know in Japan that tipping is considered an insult.
Germany, too. You're allowed to pay, like, if it's 20 marks, you or 19 marks, you can give them a 20, tell them to keep the change.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, but to leave a tip is insulting.
All right.
Now we can end it if you want.
Let's do it.
So I had a kid in fourth grade who said that Godzilla...
Podcast at GamerDA.com.
Twitter or GamerDA1. He said the Godzilla was a sacrilegious name.
Gamer discretion advised on Facebook.
And GamerDA.com is where
you can
find.
I always wondered if it was or not.
Gentlemen, get ready. E3's here.
Peace off, eh?